and our monthly update from Lincoln County School District Number 2, Superintendent Matt Erickson, live in studio this morning. Good morning, Superintendent. How are you today?
Good morning, Duke. Doing well, thanks.
I don't know what you did to get this late September weather, but thanks for doing that.
Whew. I wish I was in charge, but isn't it fantastic?
Oh, man, couldn't have asked for anything better than what we have. Well, the school year now off in full swing, and everything's rolling. So far, so good, 24-25?
We're off to a great start. We have great kids and staff members and just a bunch of good families that live in Star Valley and Cokeville. So off to a good start.
Absolutely.
Not without our challenges and things to solve, but... We're off to a great start.
You're moving ahead anyway, right? Moving forward. I want to start with a couple of items that were discussed in a recent board meeting, and SVI Dal actually had a great recap on this, but property taxes and how it affects the school budget for the school district. Take us back to this conversation and maybe summarize it as a whole for us, Superintendent.
Thank you, Duke. That's a really intriguing question. And when you come to school finances in the state of Wyoming, in my opinion, the school foundation guarantee or the block grant model, which is cost-based, is absolutely the best system in the United States. It's wonderful if people would just get out of the road and if legislators would fund it the way it's designed and quit bickering over it. It serves kids really, really well and local communities. Let me give you just a little bit of history, Duke. So starting in 1980, Washakie School District sued the state over school finances. And then we fast forward to 1995, and that's when Campbell County School District started suing the state. And Campbell County sued the state in 95, twice in 2001, and then again in 2008. And now in 2024, the Wyoming Education Association, along with a coalition of several districts, is suing the state. That just went to trial this summer, lasted the whole month of June. We anticipate a ruling from the judge in Cheyenne later this year, maybe first of 2025, but at least prior to the legislative session. And then obviously it'll be appealed and go to the Supreme Court. But anyway, in all of those cases from 1980 through 2008, the districts have prevailed. And what that means for us locally is the school foundation guarantee is equalized across all 48 districts. So there's a model, and it's based on ADM, which is average daily membership, and then several other factors. But I just want to give you a little snippet of property tax versus Lincoln 2's budget and what percent is revenue is generated locally. So I went back to 2013-14 school year. The property taxes that were collected locally were $8.7 million in 2013-14, and the school district's budget was $38.6 million. Now, we don't have time to go through every year, but I'll fast forward to 2018-19 school year. $9.7 million of revenue was generated locally through property taxes, and the school district's budget was $44.9 million. Now let's go to 22-23 school year. $14.6 million was generated locally through property taxes, and the school district's budget was $47.8 million. Last year was the highest revenue property taxes generated in Lincoln 2's boundaries, which was $15.8 million, and our school district budget was $47.4 million. So that's about 33% that's generated of our budget locally. So we're what's called an entitled district. And of the 48 school districts, I believe four are recapture districts. And what that means is they generate more property taxes locally than they're entitled to by the state based on the model. So the state recaptures funds from them. For example, our good friends in Teton County, Teton's County School District number one's budget is roughly the same as ours, just shy of $50 million. And they sent back to the state about $80 million this year. So their property taxes were $80 million more than they were entitled to, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay, so our taxes here as an entitled district only account for about 30 to 32% of what our budget is. So the state picks up the rest, if that makes sense. So the state's picking up $32 or $3 million a year for Lincoln 2's budget. So there seems to be a little bit of confusion. Our property taxes, none of us like property taxes, and they've gone really high. I'll be the first to admit that. But that benefits the state. It doesn't benefit the school district's budget. What it does is reduces the amount a little bit that the state has to make up to us, if that makes sense. Yeah. Duke, happy to, if anybody wants, I'd love to talk this stuff all day, every day. So if anybody has questions, any stakeholders, parents, whatever, call the district office, love to visit with them. JC, our director of finance, would love to visit with you, answer your questions any day. And then school board members, they have a pretty good handle on this stuff as well. So
I think just to go back to how you started with the funding model, it's really based on the core of it is how many students you have in the district.
Right? Correct.
And
correct.
So that's how you base off how much funding you get rather than how much property tax is available. I mean, it's based on the number of students, not the property tax collected.
Well said.
Right. And so it doesn't. Right. So that's kind of a. And as you mentioned, Dal did have a story on this. It's at SVINews.com and in the Star Valley Independent that could be found. And anything else, Superintendent, you'd like to touch on that?
Due to the cost of living in Star Valley, we also receive a small regional cost adjustment that is in the Constitution, the Wyoming Constitution. And love to talk about that if people have questions as well. But anyway, the lawsuit that WEA has filed right now in several local district or surrounding districts such as Sweetwater 1 and 2, Lincoln 1 and Kammer, Sublette 9, which is Pinedale, Uinta 1, which is Evanston, they're all part of this coalition with the lawsuit. And basically what the lawsuit is saying is that the legislators have not followed the Constitution and they're not funding schools at an adequate level as they're supposed to be compared to the cost-based model. And, you know, I'm not a judge, obviously, but I think there'll be several parts of the model that the state loses on and the districts prevail. Obviously, we'll take our licking on a handful, but I appreciate our local board. We chose not to be part of the lawsuit. It doesn't make any sense to me to take state money and turn around and sue the state. So, again, it's the very best model in the country. It's a wonderful model when it's followed.
Superintendent Matt Erickson in studio this morning, LCSD2. Superintendent, maybe something a little more fun to talk about here at the end. Homecoming week's on the way, and it's homecoming actually this week in Cokeville, right?
It is. And, yeah, it's a really exciting time of year. And homecoming this week, as you just mentioned, in Cokeville. I have a football game at 1 o'clock, I believe, Friday afternoon. Obviously, prior to that is the assembly, and which starts at 9, if I remember correctly. Parade at 11-ish. They're on Main Street in Cokeville. And then there's also a volleyball game, I believe, at 5 that afternoon. So a lot of things happening. And then Star Valley High will have homecoming here in a couple of weeks. So a lot of good things happening.
Absolutely.
Duke, one other thing that I think is worthy of mentioning pretty proud of old Jordan Horsley. That's amazing. I don't know much about golf, but wow, how exciting to first lady to win a 4A individual state championship, and she did it with dignity. So I'd like to give her a shout out.
And not only dignity, but a pretty wide margin of victory, to say the least.
Wow. If I looked right, you know, she beat several of the boys on the 4A side. So. Yeah. So well done, Jordan.
Absolutely. That's Superintendent Matt Erickson this morning in studio. It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up on SVI Radio.